KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
We've got music from every flavor, so keep it tuned on 91.9 on that FM dial where you can turn on, tune in, and jam out.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is slated to receive another funding boost as part of Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget for fiscal year 2026. KMXT's Davis Hovey reports that part of that potential money will support research for crashing Chinook salmon stocks.
Last fiscal year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game had an operating budget of roughly $250 million. That was out of an overall $12.2 billion statewide operating budget. Governor Mike Dunleavy has proposed giving Fish and Game $14 million more this upcoming fiscal year. If enacted, this would be at least the third consecutive year that the department has seen a $10 million or more year-over-year funding increase. Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang told KMXT back in July that he expected an increase in funding for his department in the upcoming budget cycle.
So I think there's going to be a push for federal and state money to better address what's happening to Chinook salmon in the next year's budget. I just don't know what that is yet because we're still putting it together.
The funding also comes with a boost for salmon research. Dunleavy's budget proposal, released last month, also includes more than $5.5 million to initiate a Gulf of Alaska Chinook salmon marine harvest five-year study. Chinook salmon, also known as kings, have seen significant declines in recent years across many areas of the state. On Kodiak Island, for example, the Karluk River saw the lowest king counts in recorded history, with less than 80 fish coming through the weir this summer. The governor's proposed budget also includes $4 million over 5 years to continue the Alaska Marine Salmon Program run by the University of Washington to research the evolution of Pacific salmon across Alaska. Dunleavy's FY 2026 budget proposal is just an initial proposal. The final budget is likely to change between now and when it's enacted at the end of this year's legislative session. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Tribal policy experts in Western Alaska got together on December 3rd in anticipation of a federal fisheries management decision that could eventually set a limit on chum salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea pollock fishery. KUAC's Patrick Gilchrist reports.
Tanana Chiefs Conference hosted Friday's virtual meeting with representatives from Native Peoples Action, Koweric Incorporated, and Kuskokwim Intertribal Fish Commission also in attendance. The discussion was meant to gear up stakeholders and tribal members for a February meeting of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which will consider a preliminary draft environmental impact statement regarding chum salmon bycatch limits. That document was released on December 20th. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the Alaska pollock fishery is among the most valuable in the world, with 2023 commercial landings worth more than $520 million, according to a NOAA database. The federal agency also estimates the Bering Sea pollock fishery to have a, quote, relatively low impact on critical salmon runs for western and interior Alaska. But those runs have been lackluster in recent years. And for chum salmon, Alaska Department of Fish and Game data shows species abundance from 2020 to 2023 has been below historical averages in the Yukon, Kuskokwim, and Norton Sound areas. In response to that decline, advocates ramped up calls to add a layer of protection for chums against bycatch in a bid to preserve subsistence uses and tribes' traditional ways of life. And Tanana Chiefs Conference Natural Resources Policy Analyst Crystal Lapp says instituting a limit would be one tangible way for fisheries managers to bolster chum runs in the face of myriad environmental challenges.
These declines are driven by multiple pressures, including climate change, pollution, hatchery fish competition, ecosystem and habitat changes, overfishing, and disease. However, one of the most urgent and actionable issues in the bycatch of chum salmon in the federal pollock fishery, there's currently no cap on the number of chum salmon caught as bycatch.
NOAA data indicates reported chum bycatch in the Bering Sea can fluctuate dramatically year to year. It hit a high of nearly 711,000 chums in 2005, but dipped to about 13,000 in 2010. By 2021, that number was back up to 546,000 chums, then fell to just over 35,000 for 2024. The federal government published a so-called Notice of Intent in July of 2023 to begin a formal assessment of chum salmon bycatch and management. That was after years of advocacy, which even predates the recent decline in chum salmon runs, according to Therese Vicente, the Policy and Programs Director for the Kuskokwim Intertribal Fish Commission.
Tribes and salmon people and folks who care about salmon have been testifying and advocating for reductions in bycatch of all salmon species, including chum salmon, for many, many decades.
Following the Notice of Intent, the Kuskokwim Intertribal Fish Commission and TCC joined on as cooperating agencies in the environmental review, and the National Marine Fisheries Service put out the preliminary draft of the EIS last month. The document lists five options, which range from taking no action to implementing a hard cap of between 100,000 and 550,000 chum salmon caught as bycatch. Other options include adding hard caps corridor by corridor within the fishery, or adjusting caps based on chum salmon abundance. The preliminary draft EIS is on the agenda for the upcoming North Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting, which is set to take place February 6th to 11th in Anchorage and on Zoom. In Fairbanks, I'm Patrick Gilchrist.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The Aleut community of St. Paul is moving forward with a new conservation plan for its local environment. That's after encountering pushback on a proposed federally managed National Marine Sanctuary. As Theo Greenlee reports for the Alaska Desk and KUHB, this alternative would prioritize local and traditional knowledge in managing the island's rich marine resources.
It's hard to spend time in the Bering Sea village of St. Paul without thinking about fur seals. Their barking echoes from nearly every corner of the Ununga village. But for longtime resident Zanita Melavidov, it's not like it used to be.
They're all declining. I remember rookeries used to be millions, thousands in every rookery around the island, all full of seals. Now it's empty.
Everyone around the village knows Melavidov as Grandma Z. She grew up in St. Paul when the local economy relied on the fur seal harvest, and she worked in the blubbering shop. Even back then, the community was worried about the future.
My mom and dad used to talk about this years ago. I was young. I didn't understand. Now I know. No more seals, no more food, no more birds.
The island sits just 30 miles from the eastern Bering Sea shelf, in an area that's rich with marine life, including fur seals, fish, and birds. And since last fall, the tribal government, the Aleut community of St. Paul, has been holding listening events with the community to create a plan to protect the island's ecosystems from threats like climate change and overfishing. Destiny Bristol Cushion works with the tribe's Ecosystem Conservation Office. She says they plan to designate the waters around St. Paul Island as an indigenous marine stewardship area,
which essentially gives the power to the people in the community, and it gives us the opportunity to incorporate traditional knowledge into decision-making within this protected area.
This is the community's second attempt at ensuring protections around the island. Back in 2022, the tribe announced its plans for a similar federal designation, known as a National Marine Sanctuary. It would have been the first in Alaska, and given the tribal government a seat at the table with state and federal resource managers. But the proposal faced resistance.
We're kind of just taking a step back because it wasn't very accepted.
Commercial fishing groups voiced strong opposition to the proposal when it was nominated in 2022, and regional communities like Unalaska, whose economies rely on fishing, opposed the sanctuary. Cushion says even some community members within St. Paul were concerned that it would jeopardize local fishing.
People think, oh, federal and state governments would have the power and they could just regulate my fishing or their fishing. Or it's more of just like a fear. And it's because fishing it's a big part of our history. And so you don't really want to lose that.
The National Marine Sanctuary Act explicitly states that fisheries management bodies, like the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, would still have final authority. And the tribe says the designation would not curtail commercial fishing. But that wasn't enough to calm critics. Tribal Council President John Wayne Melavidov says the tribe finally decided in October to stop pushing for the sanctuary.
We didn't want to move forward with something that would be so controversial, right? And potentially tear people apart instead of bring them together.
The new focus on the Indigenous Marine Stewardship Area centers local leadership with less federal and state government oversight, but it lacks the robust legal framework of a national marine sanctuary. The Indigenous-led designation is part of a newer program. The first one was created off the coast of California in 2023.
Nobody else is going to come in and save the day. So we feel the need to take it upon ourselves to do something about the downturn of the ecosystem in our backyard.
Details like boundaries and regulations haven't yet been finalized. Melavidov says the tribe is working with community members to develop a cohesive plan. And community leaders involved with the project say local participation will be key. All that being said, the original plan is still not off the table. Both designations could coexist, and acceptance of a national marine sanctuary is now in the feds' hands. They'll likely make a decision within the next 5 years. But the locals in St. Paul say they aren't waiting to develop a new indigenous-led effort. In St. Paul, I'm Theo Greenlee.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
the rest of the story. It was Edward Noble's fondest boyhood dream to make a fortune, to get rich. Ed attended Syracuse and Yale universities. He kept himself in pocket money as a reporter for the Watertown Daily Times, as treasurer for the Governor Athenian Society, as manager of a dining club. Each of those ventures was a moderate success, but the end of the rainbow was still beyond the horizon. When Ed left Yale, he chose advertising as his profession. He joined the New York advertising firm as a space salesman, became familiar with the profits made at advertised specialties, and he kept his eyes open for a specialty item he might promote on his own. Ed Noble discovered that item in 1913. He was 30 by then, and he had met a Cleveland chocolate manufacturer named Clarence Crane. Crane produced Merry Garden chocolates, among other confections. One of his lesser products intrigued Ed Noble. It was a peppermint candy. A peppermint-flavored candy which Crane manufactured on a pharmaceutical pill machine. Ed suggested it might be marketed as an after-dinner mint. Crane was reluctant, said the product was a slow mover. Ed remained confident in his promotional idea. Eventually, the two compromised. Ed could have the trademark and the entire stock of peppermint candy for $5,000. Well, Ed didn't have $5,000. But he cleaned out his savings, borrowed from friends, came up with $3,900. All right, it was a deal. But now Ed Noble, the young man who was going to make a fortune in advertising, was broke. On the bright side, he was in business for himself, but he was stuck with what seemed to many the least likely product in the history of the candy industry. So you know what he did? He walked into the nearest saloon, told the proprietor to keep the cardboard display container of peppermint candy beside the cash register. On the cardboard container was printed 5 cents. Now make sure, Ed told the proprietor, to give your customers at least 5 cents in change whenever you can. And the proprietor did. And one day, the profits from Ed Noble's peppermint-flavored candy blossomed into an empire of nickels. Innumerable saloons and restaurants later, in 1925, it had grown to an $11.5 million business. The company continued to net $1 million a year. 1938, it was worth $22 million. In fact, Ed Noble's nickel-at-a-time after-dinner mint fortune eventually acquired, among other things, this ABC network. For many years, Ed continued to manage the details of what he called a happy, whimsical little business, the cash register candy, his nothing enclosed by a circle. So next time you stand at the supermarket checkout counter and see that conglomeration of nickel knacks over, around, and under, and on, inundating the cash register, you'll remember how it all began. The day Ed Noble taught that technique and made a mint. The hole-in-the-middle mint you know as the Lifesaver. Only now, you know the rest of the story.
This is statewide news from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. The Alaska Gasline Development Corporation yesterday named Glenfarn Group LLC as the company it's in talks with to take over the $44 billion Alaska LNG project. The announcement came 3 days after the corporation announced a framework agreement with the company not to be named until an agreement was finalized. Corporation spokesperson Tim Fitzpatrick said yesterday that they released the company name, quote, in the interest of transparency. He says the company will announce further developments and public updates at future board meetings and legislative presentations. Glenfarn Energy Transition confirmed an exclusive agreement with AGDC to KDLL yesterday. In a statement, the company said the agreement covers the 800-mile pipeline between the North Slope and South Central, an LNG export facility in Nikiski, and carbon capture infrastructure on the North Slope. AGDC President Frank Richards teased the then-unnamed company's qualifications during an energy press conference on Monday, when it was initially announced that an agreement was in the works.
The company involved brings extensive U.S. and international natural gas and LNG experience to bear to this project.
The company also owns and manages the Texas LNG project, a natural gas export facility in South Texas.
Glenn Thorne said it has a second exclusive agreement with NSTAR Natural Gas Company. That agreement is to advance a natural gas import infrastructure in the same facility as the proposed export infrastructure in Nikiski. An NSTAR spokesperson said the company's import agreement with Glen Thorne is separate from AGDC's Alaska LNG project agreement. The company doesn't have a cost estimate for the import projects covered by the agreement. Until last month, the U.S. Department of Education said Alaska underfunded four of its largest school districts by $17.5 million. The Alaska Beacon reports as a result of a recent agreement, the schools in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Kenai Peninsula Borough won't directly receive any of that money. The $17.5 million is part of COVID-era pandemic funding, and until last month, how Alaska distributed that funding was at the heart of a years-long dispute between federal and state officials and whether it was spent fairly. The state repeatedly defended their school spending plan, while the federal government asserted that the state failed to comply with guidelines and reduced spending on these districts with high need or high poverty areas and withheld the sum they said it was owed. Federal officials said the state reduced spending to the Kenai Peninsula and Anchorage school districts by up to almost $12 million in the 2021 to 2022 school year, and all four districts by almost $6 million the following year. The dispute came to an end last month when the federal department told the state it was releasing the funding, citing a review of the state's one-time funding boosts in the last two budgets, and considered the matter closed. This is Alaska Public Media.
The Alaska Morning News is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. Public media is about you, the community we serve. Thank you for tuning in. Want to make a lasting impression? Consider planning a gift as a bequest to this station. Talk to a financial advisor to learn how.
Support for NPR comes from Arm, committed to delivering innovative, advanced computing designed to enable worldwide companies to unleash the capabilities and experiences of AI. The future of AI is built on Arm. Arm.com. This is NPR.
This is Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. Former President Jimmy Carter's funeral was yesterday. Carter left a historic mark in Alaska in 1980 by greatly expanding its national parks, refuges, and other conservation system units. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin spoke to two Anchorage men who say Carter made a big impression on them, too, when he visited Alaska 20 years later.
It was a formal affair at the Capitol Tuesday night when military pallbearers inched Carter's flag-draped coffin into the Capitol rotunda, one coordinated step at a time. Buzz Scher's experience with Carter was not the least bit formal.
The second we met him, he was just so, it's not really a good term, but down to earth, but he was. He was just so open, friendly.
Carter came to Alaska in 2000 to celebrate the anniversary of his landmark conservation law, and he wanted to go birding. Someone contacted Scher and Theed Tobish, two of Alaska's top birders, measured by the number of species they'd sighted. Their mission? Take the former president and his wife Rosalind Carter out birding in Anchorage over three mornings. They had some challenges. For one thing, it was August. Scher says that's not a great time to spot or hear birds in Anchorage.
You have to walk around. You're listening for chip notes, looking for something moving in the brush, and you're generally trying to be very, very quiet. But here's a man that we didn't want to be quiet with. We wanted to hear his story.
Tobish says Carter was willing to oblige.
I remember asking him, Mr. President, I know you don't drink alcohol because of your religious beliefs, but how did you deal with the Russians with your SALT II treaty meetings and their vodka? And he said, that's a great story.
Carter revealed to them that he had a special drinking glass made with a false bottom so that he didn't have to drink all the shots that were poured. The birders had three Secret Service agents trailing them. At one point, Tobish says Carter wanted to call the agents over so he could show them a pair of Pacific loons.
They're incredibly beautiful birds and breeding plumage.
The agents didn't notice Carter at first, so he shouted louder and waved his arms. That got the agents running at them. Too fast. Scher recalls putting his hands in the air to avoid a painful misunderstanding. Another challenge, Carter was just so friendly. Early one morning, Schur and Tobish took the Carters to Westchester Lagoon, along one of the busiest bike trails in Anchorage. Schur remembers joggers would freeze in their tracks at the sight of the former leader of the free world.
That would be your natural reaction, just, what do I do now? There's the president. He wouldn't waste a millisecond, and he would just turn right towards them, walk up to them, put his hand out. Hi, Jimmy Carter, nice to meet you. You know, how are you today?
It cut into Carter's birding opportunities, but Tobish says Carter got that for passersby, catching a sight of him was special, no less important than his sighting of birds.
He was so gracious and no ego at all that I could see, but respect for other people was so strong also. I mean, here was a guy that could maneuver between global decision-making and talking to birders on the coastal trail. He made it seamless.
Tobish and Schur say they felt honored to spend part of 3 days with Jimmy Carter, even if the birding was less than spectacular. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
This is Alaska Public Media.
It's a beautiful morning.
Another day, another beautiful day, as a matter of fact. And what's going to happen today? Well, it's Friday, TGIF and all that, to all my friends out here. And what the heck, we'll just start right now. Something I was going to say that was brilliant this morning, obviously I forgot. Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. Talk about the mind, you know, of all the things in life I've lost, I miss my mind the most. I mean, that's a nice joke, but I mean... I'm 3/4 of a century here in a couple of weeks. That's how old I am. Well, it's not a funny joke anymore. But there is stuff out there. Prevagen, I guess, works. When I was doing a night watchman gig, I'd go to the east wall, and there'd be five boats, or let's say three boats or whatever. And then when I went back up, I had to write down who's at the east wall. Well, I couldn't remember that. I started taking Prevagen for about a month, and it could be 50 boats tied up to each wall. I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, of course. And I remember every one, so I have to go back to taking that. Sometimes in the middle of a sentence, I forget where I'm going. I mean, that's pretty funny. Not because of pot or too much chocolate or anything like that. It's just old age. And it has its issues, but like my favorite artist said, Emily Carr, you know, was from Victoria, Canada. It was only, 40 miles from where I grew up. And she said, getting older really isn't that bad, as long as you stay away from mirrors. I love that one. Waylon Jennings is up with We Had It All. After that, one piece at a time. I know. Virgil, I hope you're not listening because I did play that yesterday. And then we'll have Reuben Hilborn and the Alaskan Trio with Thank You for the Valley. Here's Waylon.
I can hear the wind blowing in my mind, just the way it used to sound through the Georgia pines. You were there to answer when I called. You and me, Lord knows, we had it all. Remember how I used to touch your hair while reaching for a feeling that was always there. You were the best thing in my life that I recall. You and me, we had it all. I know that we can never live those times again, so I'll let my dreams take me back to where we've been. And I'll stay with you, girl, as long as I can. Oh, it was so all worthwhile. You were the best thing in my life that I recall. You and me, we had it all.
Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. So the very next day when I punched in with my big lunchbox and with help from my friend, I left that day with a lunchbox full of gears. I've never considered myself a thief, but GM wouldn't miss just one little piece, especially if I strung it out over several years. The first day I got me a fuel pump, and the next day I got me an engine and a trunk, then I got me a transmission and all the chrome. The little things I could get in my big lunchbox, like nuts and bolts and all four shocks, but the big stuff we snuck out my buddy's mobile home. Now up to now my plan went all right till we tried to put it all together one night, and that's when we noticed that something was definitely wrong. The transmission was a 53 and the motor turned out to be a 73, and when we tried to put in the bolts all the holes were gone. So we drilled it out so that it would fit, and with a little bit of help from an adapter kit, we had that engine running just like a song. Now the headlights, there was another sight. We had two on the left and one on the right, but when we pulled out the switch, all three of them come on. The back end looked kind of funny too, but we put it together, and when we got through, well, that's when we noticed that we only had one tail fin. About that time, my wife walked out, and I could see in her eyes that she had her doubts. But she opened the door and said, "Honey, take me for a spin." So we drove uptown just to get the tags, and I headed to ride on down Main Drag. I could hear everybody laughing for blocks around. But up there at the courthouse, they didn't laugh, cause to type it up, it took the whole staff. And when they got through, the title weighed 60 pounds. I got it one piece at a time, and it didn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, cause I'll have the only one there is around. Yeah, Red Rider, this is the Cottonmouth in the Psycho Billy Cadillac, come on. Haul. This is a Cottonmouth, and negatory on the cost of this machine there, Red Rider. You might say I went right up to the factory and picked it up. It's cheaper that way. What model is it? Well, it's a 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59 automobile. It's a 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68.
Thank you for the valley I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. I found you where the lilies are blooming by the way. Thank you for the valley I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I've climbed, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew everything was alright. Thank you for the valley I walk through today. All sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be deserts, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessing, or there'd be no need to pray. Thank you for the valley I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I've climbed, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew
you for the valley I walk through today.
Yeah, let's hear some Dwight Yoakam next with, excuse me, Throughout All Time. And then Patsy Cline with A Stranger in My Arms. After that, Pirate of the Misses. Pirate of the Misses, that's what it says, but it actually is Pirates of the Mississippi. And that's Feed Jake. Hey, Jake, are you listening to us? Got a song about you here.
So soft, a shade of violet, Lord, and how it took my breath away. And as the sunshine on that morning broke across your golden hair, how I wish to hold you tightly, Lord, I was shy and did not dare. I still see you walking silently through the shadows in my mind, and the vision of your sweet blue eyes creeps into my dream to sleep at night. You still haunt the deepness of my memory, guess you to tell you how I pine. I've been known to ask a stranger that I thought might just pass your way, if they would tell you of these feelings that we might meet again someday. But I still see you walking silently
conceal it. Love has brought us only stars. I can see your eyes reveal it. You're a stranger in my heart. say goodbye to our romancing. We have lost the flame that warms. Though I hold you while we're dancing, you're a stranger in my arms. Every story has an ending. This is where our story ends. Please don't hurt me by pretending, for lovers never can be friends. Through the years your love will haunt me, and I'll dream about your arms. Still I know you'll never want me. You're a stranger in my arms. Every story has an ending. This is where our story ends. Please don't hurt me by pretending, for lovers never can be friends. Through the years your love will haunt me, and I'll dream about your arms. Still I know you'll never want me. You're a stranger in my arms. You're a stranger in my arms.
I'm standing at the crossroads in life, and I don't know where to go. You know you got my heart, babe, but my music's got my soul. Let me play it one more time. I'll tell the truth and make it rhyme, and hope they understand me. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. He's been a good dog, my best friend, right through it all. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. Now Broadway's like a sewer, bums and hookers everywhere. Wino passed out on the sidewalk, doesn't anybody care? Some say he's worthless, just let him be. I for one would have to disagree. So would their mamas. Now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. He's been a good dog, my best friend, right through it all. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. Now if you get an ear pierced, some will call you gay. But if you drive a pickup, they'll say no, you must be straight. What we are and what we ain't, what we can and what we can't. Does it really matter? Now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake,
feed Jake. He's been a good dog, my best friend, right through it all. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. If I die before I wake, feed Jake.
We have some Dolly Parton with Porter Wagoner coming up next with Say Forever, You'll Be Mine. And then Lonesome Standard Time, and that's a Kathy Mattea hit. After that, Elton Britt with Wave to Me, My Lady.
Say forever, you'll be mine.
Forever is the love is filled with understanding. Forever is the love that is true and undemanding. Forever is the love that can stand the test of time. Forever you'll be mine. Trouble clouds may fill our sky, it might even rain, but the rain will go away. There's always a brighter day. Darling, that we'll be happy all the time. But forever I am yours. Say forever you'll be mine.
Forever I am yours.
Say forever you'll be mine.
Forever, I am yours. And I'll do anything that you ever ask me to.
Then I'll do what you want me to.
Darling, I will promise you that we'll be happy all the time. But forever, I am yours.
Do you feel a kindred spirit to the sound of pouring rain? Does your heart start to yearning when you hear a distant train? If you'd like to take that train and ride to someone left behind, you don't need the wind to tell you you're on Lonesome Standard Time. Do you sit alone and think about an old love from the past? Do you feel a bit more empty every time you raise your glass? The memory of his kisses sends a shiver up your spine. Don't need a watch to tell you you're on Lonesome Standard Time. When you hear them old sad songs, do you hang on every word? Do you swear a crying fiddle has the sweetest sound on earth? Do you shudder at the music of a hoot owl in the pines? You're on Lonesome Standard Time. bigger clock a-ticking. It crosses every zone. The first time your old heart broke was the time you turned it on. I don't ever need a winding, 'cause if it works like mine, well, there ain't no doubt about it, you're on lonesome standard time. Oh, you hear them old sad songs, do you hang on every word? Do you swear a crying fiddle has the sweetest sound on earth? Do you shudder at the music of a hoot owl in the pines? You're on lonesome standard time. At the music of a hoot owl in the pines, you're on lonesome standard time.
Just took a job in the railroad yard, pay me good, work me hard. Just took a job in the railroad yard, now I'm doing fine. So won't you wave to me, my lady, wave to me, my lady, wave to me, my lady, as I roll on down the line. Oh, won't you wave to me, my lady, wave to me, my lady, wave to me, my lady, down the line. Just took a job on the railroad switch, won't go broke, can't get rich. Just took a job on the railroad switch, and now I'm doing fine. So ain't you proud of me, my lady, proud of me, my lady, proud of me, my lady, as I roll on down the line. Oh, ain't you proud of me, my lady, proud of me, my lady, proud of me, my lady, down the line. Job on the railroad break, and now I'm doing fine. So won't you say to me, my lady, say to me, my lady, say to me, my lady, as I roll on down the line. Oh, won't you say to me, my lady, say to me, my lady, say to me, my lady, you'll be mine.
When you're dead, you're done. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. Don't sit there mumbling, talking trash. If you want to have a ball, you got to go out and spend some cash. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old.
Get together, let the good times roll. Hey, Mr. Landlord.